I want us today to take the King James Version of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord said to the apostles, "You'll be witnesses of me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." You've got to put that in its proper setting. That's in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. In verse 9, after he had spoken these words, all of a sudden Jesus leaves this earth and heads back to heaven in a cloud. Can you imagine those 11 apostles that were there? Judas, by the way, had hanged himself, and so he was not there. Here are these 11 apostles saying, "Man, what are we supposed to do? Jesus is no longer here. What does he want us to do? What's this? What's our place in God's plan on this earth?" You put yourself in that place, and I'll guarantee you'd had some thoughts like that. Now, he had told them, I'm about to go back to heaven. The latter part of the book of Luke says, you go into Jerusalem and you wait there. And so they go back to Jerusalem for 10 days, they're doing nothing. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon them. "Lord, what do you want us to do?" Well, you and I know why he came. Matthew chapter 1, 16 verse 18 said, "I came to build the church." What's church? He purchased the church with his blood. What on earth is church? You've got to understand, they didn't have a clue what it was all about. And tragically, in our day, folks don't understand oftentimes what church is all about. They think church is about worshiping God. Now, the church worships God. Well, that's not why he built the church. He already had the angels in heaven that could worship him. That's not what it was all about. And, church is about fellowship. It's about getting together and going bowling together, and it's about eating together and doing all of this stuff together. But that's not why he built the church. So here they are, and the Lord says, "You take this gospel to every creature in heaven." How on earth are we going to do it? Look at that chapter and understand how these early Christians carried out this great commission. They started where they were. He says, "You'll be witness of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world." Look at it. Jerusalem is where they were. Now, he said, "You carry the gospel to all nations." Matthew 28, verse 19. Mark 16, verse 15. "You carry it to every creature in every nation there is on this earth." I'm going away, and here's what I want you to do. When I leave you here, you carry the gospel to every creature on this earth. Folks, that's what church is. All of these other things that we love and enjoy are just blessings that come along beside all of these other things. And we need to have an appreciation. I love this fellowship we have. I love every time that we get. I love eating together with you, my brethren. Somebody said of Palm Beach Lakes, that's the eatingest church I've ever seen. It has more garbage cans than most churches have deacons. And that what was true. We now got a dumpster, so but all of our deacons would fit in that one dumpster, I suppose. So I guess we'd still have more garbage cans than we do deacons. Isn't that remarkable? You and I need to understand the fact that fellowship and all of this time that we have together, that's a byproduct. Why did he build? Here it is. I'm leaving this earth. I've died for mankind. The world needs to know that I have lived on this earth. The world needs to know that God sent His Son and that I have come as the Son of God. And the whole world needs to hear this good news, this gospel. And you go preach this gospel to every creature. And he who believes in it and is baptized shall be saved. But that's your responsibility, is not to go and baptize everybody. That's not what it's all about. Your responsibility is to go teach everybody. And so they're there. Lord, how on earth are we going to do it? And he gives them the plan. Now you watch this. You go back to the city of Jerusalem. And it's going to start right there in the city of Jerusalem. And that's what happened. He ascends into heaven, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost comes and Peter preaches that first sermon that announces the resurrection of Jesus and promises salvation in the name of Jesus. But did it stop at Jerusalem? No, he said, you take it to Judea. And so Judea would be like the county that surrounds a city. Here's West Palm Beach, and here's Palm Beach County. That'd be a surrounding area. And so you carry it to Jerusalem, you carry it to Judea, and then Samaria. Where's that? Well, that's another county, but the people up there, you know, they're not good folks like we are. They're not really those Samaritans. In fact, the Jews looked at Samaritans and called them dogs. The Lord says, dogs need the gospel. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then I want you to take this message to the most remote place on earth. I want you to hear that. And that's why this lesson is called To the Uttermost Parts of the Earth. Now, why do you do it? Not for my glory, not for the glory of the church, not so any man can talk about how wonderful and how great that individual is. You do this for the glory of God. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And as they let their light shine, they brought glory to God. It has nothing at all to do. Evangelism has nothing at all to do with bringing glory and honor to us. But they did it because they loved Jesus and His cross. Now then, what's Mission Sunday is all about? Well, Mission Sunday is that one Sunday a month where every dollar that is given, and that'll be, you know, two Sundays from now, that all of the money's given on that day will be used to carry the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we're not talking Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We're talking about to West Palm Beach, to Palm Beach County, to surrounding counties, to this nation, to other nations, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what He wanted us to do. And had we been standing there and had the Lord ascended from this place, at this building, at this very time, you know what He would have told us? You take this message and you carry this to every place you possibly can. Folks, that is what church is all about. Now, up until about 10 years ago, the way we were doing mission work was that every week we have our weekly contribution, and money is out of that weekly contribution was devoted to mission work. And so every time we gave on a week, that a certain percentage of all of that money that was given to our missionaries. And we were doing at that time about $50,000 a year, about $1,000 a week in mission work. It was about 10 years ago, the elder said, we want to change how we're going to do this. We're going to keep a weekly budget. This is how much money it takes for the church to function. But we're going to remove from that weekly budget $50,000. And we're going to say to the church, on that mission Sunday, we need $50,000 on that Sunday to do what we have been doing. But, they said, but we're going to challenge the church to give more on that Sunday than they have been giving. You may recall the joy there was 10 years ago whenever in the year 2004, when the number was announced, it was 2.5 times what we had been given. I remember one of the elders saying, we just didn't know this church. And so from 2004 to 2013, the average contribution on Mission Sunday has been $116,388. Isn't that remarkable? That's something that we ought not to brag about, but it's something that ought to be a heart of thanksgiving about what this church has done. Not in an arrogant way. I love the cents that are there. I love the 65 cents that are there, because you remember on many of those Sundays, one of our young ladies who's no longer here, she's grown now, but 10 years ago she was not grown. And when she was here, all year long, she saved all the change that she could get. And Chad, you remember how many Sundays I gave you that very jar of money. I said, you carry it back for those men to... You know, where'd that come from? It came from just a young person in this church and parents who said, we want to save money for Mission Sunday. And so here's this girl, you know, 10 years of age, and all of a sudden she's a part of carrying the gospel out to the whole. I love the cents part on that. I'm thankful the $116,000, but you and I need to see that 65 cents, because obviously it was more than 65 cents. But oftentimes that's where that odd number comes from. It's just the change that is given. The total contribution is $1.16 million that this church has given for world evangelism. If that does not bring joy and in your heart, I was thinking this morning of when the church met, 1923, is that the year when the church first met? in West Palm Beach, how amazed they would be if they'd known that someday, because of the fruit of their labors, there'd be $1 million that would come out of that little congregation that met in somebody's house, you know, 85 years ago, 90 years ago, whatever the number of days that was ago. Isn't that amazing? Who would have ever dreamed that that could have happened? So what I want us to do is I want us to just talk about what this church has done. But remember, not for our glory, but this church has been able to glorify God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Where does it all start? Well, it starts right here in West Palm Beach. And you stop and think about that Heart to Heart magazine. Are you aware of the fact that this congregation, as a result of the monies given on Mission Sunday, has distributed 900,000 pieces of literature of the Heart to Heart magazine? I want you to stop and think about that. In view of the fact that even before Mission Sunday that we were using the Heart to Heart magazine, the number is, it gets very close to 1 million when you start adding all the other things that have gone out. I want you to hear this. Imagine walking up and down the streets of Palm Beach County and handing out 1 million pieces of literature. You've done it. 900,000 times in the last 10 years. Somebody in their home has opened up a brochure that talks about the Lord and about His work. 900,000 homes. I don't know if the paper was read by more than one person in that home, but 900,000 times people have heard of the church. We had that daily radio program. It came out of Stewart, and their listening audience was 2 million people. I went all the way over to the Bahamas. It was a 1 day a week. Don Jones had the program up there with the church in Stewart. But every week we were up there, had an hour's call-in question and answer type program. You may not remember that, but how thrilling it was. And that's not to say that 2 million people heard that program, but the potential audience reached all the way up to Okeechobee County and out in the middle of the states, actually all the way across to the west coast of Florida and all the way over to the Bahamas. Potential of 2 million people hearing the gospel. And then the television program that we had for a year that had the potential of reaching 300,000 homes. And you remember those television spot ads? I don't know how many we had in those 2 years, but you just put a spot ad on again and again and again, and I'm sure the number was 200 or 300, maybe even 400 more. David, remember what the number was? How many there were? How many ads? I know there were 6 or 8. How many? 500 times that those ads were broadcast. That's remarkable, isn't it? People hearing about the Lord in relationship to that. We made a special mailer out called The Plan of Salvation. And we printed that and sent that out in 2007 to 50,000 homes. And then look at the senior high. And here we go outside of Palm Beach County. Our senior high mission teams, 14 different congregations in 8 states. This church, because you young people are a part of the church, this church, through you, went to 14 different states. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's the whole concept. And then there's the Spanish work that we had here for those 7 or 8 years. And then last year, those bumper stickers and metal plates that you could put on your car. Are you aware of the fact that when we ask, how did you hear of this church? Are you aware people put, I saw a bumper sticker? We have a couple that continues to come again and again. I don't see them here on Sunday morning, but they come on Sunday night, and they come every Sunday night. And you know why? You know how they learned of this church? Do you know where their interest in this church came from? He was driving his car, and they were looking for a church that is fundamental and that believes the Bible and really wants to be a New Testament church. and all of a sudden on your car, and it was yours, just ask me as you leave, and I'll guarantee you it was on your car. Not singular, but I'll guarantee it was on your car or mine. And they saw that little metallic bumper, that metallic sticker. Isn't that remarkable? And now, here are these people greatly, greatly interested in what's happening here in this place. Where'd that come from? It came because of an innocent thing, and we think, well, that's not a big thing. I don't want a bumper sticker. Well, it's metallic. You can take it off. Whenever you go to the bar, take it off, okay? But it's a metallic sticker, and if you're going to do wrong, get that bumper sticker off of your car. I say that facetiously, hopefully. But you understand, what a great tool to reach out and to touch the lives of others. And then all of the banners that we have on the side of the building, where the number is even greater than this, but David and I talked about this, and if we told you the number that people, the number of cars, number of people that pass in automobiles down I-95 every day, you wouldn't believe the number. So we cut it in half, and the number is still 500,000 people today drive past this building. That's remarkable, isn't it? Those are not our numbers. That's not preacher's count. That comes from the Department of Transportation. Isn't that remarkable? You and I need to understand that. Now then, let's just get out of Palm Beach County. Let's look at the number of missionaries that we have supported in the last 10 years. 13 full-time missionaries. We partially support them and greatly support some of them in 26 countries on 4 continents. I'm thankful to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that this church is being able, and you look at the list of those names that are there. Some we only supported partially, been supporting them for years and years and years. Some of the names we'll recognize, but you look at the work that's been done. Where did that money come from? It came because of the fact that we were interested in doing mission work. But it gets better than that. When you add to that the number of adult members and mission teams that we have sent, then the number is more than 25 countries on 6 continents. Adult groups from Palm Beach Lakes have gone to the Bahamas, to Paraguay, to Peru, to Trinidad, and then our kids go away to Christian colleges. They have gone all over the globe, even into China. Where's that coming from? It's coming from a congregation that heard the words of Jesus. The world needs to know about the story of the cross, and you carried this gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the most remote place on earth. We ought to really, really be thankful. But that's not all. We have a very, very close association with Apologetics Press. Our elders serve as advisor in a brotherly way to those men who are involved in Apologetics Press. And if you've never been to that website, you have missed one of the most remarkable websites. Of the 200 plus nations in the world, 90% of the countries in the world, 85% of the countries in the world have gone to Apologetics Press. You've got to understand how important that is. You look at the quality of their work. Look at those tracts that we have about the existence of God and about evolution and things of that nature for the children that are out there in the foyer. You look at the magazines that are there from Apologetics Press. Think of all the publication, and there are 4 men that are there, and you'll recognize the names of these, will you not? Dave Miller and Jeff Miller, his son, Eric Lyons and Kyle Butts. They're full time, and they're speaking all over in this country and around the globe. They go to 100 different places every year and do seminars. Whenever we had the seminar about the Islam religion, who'd we bring? We brought Dave Miller. Why? Because he's of his scholarship and because of his ability. And then there are the publications, the monthly journals that they have, Reason and Revelation and Discover being 2 of them. They publish books for adults and for teens. They publish videos for adults and kids. And then there's the VBS material that they publish on and on and on and on. And Palm Beach Lakes is very, very much a part of that. And every week, every month, I mean, we send monies up there. Where does that money come from? It comes from Mission Sunday. And there, to look at the numbers on the website, 7 million pages are hit annually from 175 plus countries around the world. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about Mission Sunday. Folks, we're 2 weeks away, and you and I need to understand the work is not over. But wait a minute. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Where is the most remote place on this earth? Now, you can take Google's map, and they had a guy who jumped as high as he could and jumped 10,000 miles and made a photograph of the earth. Yeah, I want you to look at that massive Pacific island, Pacific Ocean. You bring that down to 3,500 miles, and can you not see right in the middle of the screen? You do see that place there, do you not? You cannot see it? Well, let's look at it from 300 miles, from 500 miles up. Is that 300 or 500? You see it? An invisible dot in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The name of that dot is Easter Island. It has 63 square miles. That's the size, to understand you how small this island is. Palm Beach Gardens is 53 square miles. Palm Beach County is 2,400 square miles. Palm Beach Gardens is 53 square miles. So if you add the 8 or 9 miles over there in Riviera Beach, you'll get some idea of just how small this place is. Well, how remote is it? Well, let's see. If you go over in this direction, it's 2,200 miles west of Chile. If you're on the Easter Islands and you want to go west to visit your nearest neighbors, 2,200 miles to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, if you go east, you'll get over to Tahiti, and the distance is 2,500 miles. Are you aware? And are you as thankful as I am that this congregation, 4 times, has sent missionaries? Almost every time it was Josh, who was here last week, to the Easter Islands to tell those people there about Jesus. Now, don't get puffed up. But if your heart is not thankful that God can hear some people that know about the Easter Islands, oh, by the way, the population there, about 5,000. How on earth would God ever get the gospel to somebody on the Easter Islands who said, I really want to find God? You've seen the statues from Easter Islands, do you not? You understand that in ancient times, that place was so isolated, there was ancestral worship, and those big stone monuments they built there. How on earth would God get the gospel to the Easter Islands? Josh pointed out the fact that The folks over in Chile wanted it because they thought they might be able to put a big harbor out there and it would be good for their economy. There's no harbor that's there. They anchor the ship oftentimes off. If the ship's large at all, they anchor it off and use little shuttle boats to bring the, when the ships come in, to offload the things that are there. How on earth would God ever get the gospel Easter Island? Well, he could have done it any way he wanted to. He could have done it any way he wanted to. But there's a guy by the name of Robert Martin who's out there in the South Pacific who wants in his lifetime to get the gospel to everyone, every island there is in the South Pacific. He's out there and he says, how on earth can we get the gospel to Easter Island? Robert's had an association with this church for 20 plus years. And when we began that work in Paraguay, all of a sudden Robert saw a connection between our association with Robert and our association with those guys in Paraguay. And God used the connection from this church with Robert and Josh to get the gospel to the most remote place on earth. Under the uttermost, one small congregation. 350 of us here today. That's counted the children. Not significant. Measure it by churches of, even many churches of Christ in other places. Little congregation of 350. Measure it by some of the massive mega churches that abound in our culture in the last 10 years or so. Nothing by comparison. But visitors, I want you to know, there's a heart in this congregation that says Christ came and Christ died and the uttermost parts of the world needs the gospel. We're not through. We're not through. And that's really what we'll talk about next year, next week. What more can we do than what we have done? But understand, it is absolutely not for our glory. Mordecai said to Esther, you're in a position, Esther, to save the Jewish nation. You're the queen of the world. Nobody knows you're a Jew. You're married to the most powerful man on earth. It's in the book of Esther. Read the story there. And her Mordecai comes to her and says, you may be the very avenue by which God will save the Jewish nation. Mordecai's word, who knows but that you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? But then he said, now Esther, before you get the big head, God's not dependent on you. If you fail God, God will work it out using somebody else. But I want to say to the depths of the heart, from the depths of my heart to the depths of the heart of every member of this church here, that 2 weeks from now, when that big Sunday comes and we're trying to raise as much as we possibly can to do more for God, who knows? Member at Palm Beach Lakes, that you have been brought to this place at this time for such a time as this. And so those 11 men said, we're too busy. No, we can't do it. We'd rather spend our monies elsewhere. We'd rather devote our time doing other things. Not on your life. They believed to the very depths of their heart that Christ had come and Christ had died, and the world needed to know of God's plan that leads men back to Him. And that's us. From the depths of our heart, because we believe that God has come in the flesh, the world needs to know this message. And as Isaiah of long ago so it said, "Hear my Lord, send me." So with one heart we say to the God of heaven, "God of heaven, for 10 years we've said it to you. And on this 11th year we'll say, Lord, here we are, use us." One insignificant group, 350 people of the 7 billion people on this earth. And we say, Lord, use us. You see, the Lord wants to save you. But to save you, you've got to give your uttermost to Him, your utmost to the Lord. And that means you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what John 3:16 says. That you decide to turn your life around. That's called repentance. Acts 17:30 says, "The God who made this world commands all of us to repent." And when we've confessed, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the blessed name of Jesus, we can be baptized as were those men in that first century as they went and taught all creatures. They were baptizing them. And this very day, you could be baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, into the family of God, into the kingdom of heaven. You can become of this work God planned from creation. And then He says, "Now Christians, those of you who've done this, don't you dare let up. Don't you just be full of faith until you die." If we can help you go to heaven in any way, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?